Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Get it in. Your dude is back. Maybach roof is back. Tell the whole world the truth is back. You ain't gotta argue about who can rap, cause the proof is back. Stone through my rap. Yeah, where my troopers at? Where my hustlers? Where my boosters at? I don't care what you do for stack. I know the world glued you back to the wall. You gotta run through that. I've been through that. Been shot at. Shoot back. Gotta keep a peace like a boot ass. I ain't a new jack. Nobody gon' Wesley snipe me. It's less than likely that I bring Jedi Knight. The more space I get, the better I write. Oh, never I write. But if ever I write, I need the space to say whatever I like. Now just him.
Hurry, boy, it's raining there for you.
Let's get ghosts in the phantom. You could bring your friend, we can make this a tandem. Or you could come by yourself and you could stand them. You could come by yourself and you could stand them. Best believe I sweat out weaves. Get afro puffs like R-A-G-E. How you get a buka, move it. Back it on up like a U-Haul truck. Then run and tell them ducks you heard Hobie new shit. He and the boy Fury will make beautiful music. He is to the east for Snoop is. To the west with faces, the Houston. Young Hov in the house is so necessary. No bra with that blouse is so necessary. No panties and jeans, that's so necessary. Why you front on me? Is that necessary? Do I? To you look like a lame. Who don't understand the mean shoe game? Who's up on dot, dot, dot? And Vera Wayne, my, are you insane?
But you want me
to
do?
Hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you.
Down in Africa,
just don't go well with those estas. Gotta stay fresh, ma. I don't shout with a respite. Oh no, ma, please respect my Jiggy. It's probably purple label. Or that BBC shit on is probably tailored. And y'all niggas acting way too tough. Throw on a suit, get it, tape it up. You know I stay fresh to death, aborted from the projects. And I'ma take you to the top of the globe.
Brave boy, it's waiting there for you. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Brave boy, it's waiting there for you. Gonna take the love to drag me away from you.
Yeah, ma.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is your buddy Ryan, and this is your Thursday episode. Is that right? I think that's right. That is right. Thursday. Okay. Yeah. Today's Wednesday. We got this. No, it's good. You are one step closer to Friday. Oh my gosh. It all just blends into one big year. Folks, how is everybody doing today? I hope you guys are great. I'm not good because I just watched one of the worst season finales of a Housewives show I have seen in a long time. This show is now been completely It's been completely hijacked by Jen Shaw and her storyline. No wonder they made this a shortened season, because I realized you can't really do anything when one of your castmates is pretty much going to jail. And I don't mean just physically. I mean, there's really no other drama that is going to even compete. And when the main drama you can't really talk about and you don't get any kind of the full answers that you need, yeah, you got to close up shop. You ruined the season. I mean, truly, what a horrendous episode. Honestly, that choir. I mean, like, listen, this is what's starting to be bold. Like, all of Heather's storylines just seems to be a load of horseshit. By the way, happy Thursday, everybody. But for real, like, that choir seemed fake as hell. Everything seemed fake. Everything. Like, this is wild. Just truly a maddening episode. And we will get we'll do a full recap very soon of this final episode. I hope you enjoyed the recap I did today. I know those come a little bit later, but hopefully you're still interested in them, because I do love talking about this show, but it is infuriating. I mean, you guys, half of that episode, we had 25 minutes of like wrapping up the season, and then you could tell that they stopped filming for a while, and then they brought Heather and Meredith to New York for Jen's sentencing, and it was just a mess. It was just a mess. I just feel like it's more lies on top of more lies on top of more lies. I don't think Heather's telling the truth. I don't think Jen's telling the truth. I don't think Coach is telling the truth. And it's just a really wacky, wacky season. And I'll be really curious about the reunion, but I'm not really holding out a lot of hope for it. Okay. But I cannot wait to dig into that episode just to talk about, because I need to yell about this. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Also, I was wrong two times today, you guys. And listen, it hurts me, because up to this point, 3 years of doing this, I've never been wrong. And I was wrong two times in this last day. And I want to own up to you guys about this. Listen, this is what Jen Shaw couldn't do for people. But I want to say I was wrong, because I thought Brandi Glanville was going to be announcing her return to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills tonight. That is not the case. I still think there's a chance she will be back. It seemed like they were teasing it a lot, but the announcement did not come tonight like I thought on Watch What Happens Live. And So I was wrong about that. I was also wrong, and this is really weird because this story keeps changing. Catherine Dennis, yesterday it said she was going to be back as a guest star. Today, Catherine Dennis has written her letter saying farewell to Southern Charm this season, that she will not be in it. I'm so confused, you guys. I'm like, just make up your mind already. Whether you're coming or you're going. But her statement says, well, what a wild ride it's been. Can you believe I was 21 when I first started filming Southern Charm back in its first season? That was in 2013, and in the decade that followed, it's safe to say my life changed in ways I could never imagine. It hasn't always been easy, but I'm so lucky to have had reality cameras there, capturing so many moments that I'll never forget, and a few even that I'd like to. Y'all watched me grow up, become a mom to two amazing children, and build friendships I'll always treasure, and through it all, the love y'all have shown for me not only gave me strength I needed to tackle it all, but help me realize that I wasn't alone. I'm so grateful. I'll be carrying that love with me as I enter the next chapter of my life away from the Southern Charm lens. I'm thankful for Bravo, the producers at Haymaker, and my Charleston castmates for everything, and I'm excited for whatever comes next. If it's anything like the last decade, it'll be a memorable ride. LFG, let's fucking go. So this bums me out, but this is what I listen. Oh, also, I recorded Shenanigans with Sheena Shea and Jamie Lynn, or Jamie from Jamie All Over the podcast. And I got to be a guest today on Shenanigans, and it was my second time on there. And we got to talk all about the Vanderpump trailer. I think I might have started interviewing her at one point accidentally, but it was always just fun. And I just, to this day, I can't believe, I'm like, wow, I'm just literally across. I'm just watching Sheena Shea. Like, you just never, it's just wild to me. So check that episode out on Friday. I think it's going to be really, really fun. I also did a podcast right after that called Internet Hour, which is celebrating its 100th episode with my new friend, Sarah. And I'm not sure when that's going to come out, but she's going to tell me and I'll let you guys know. But it was really special to even be asked to do her podcast, and especially for the 100th episode. You know how much work it takes to do even one episode? And she got to 100. Like, that is just no small feat. And it was great. Like, I was like, what a cool life I get to have because of you guys. So, and thank you to Sarah for having me. But Sheena, we were talking about Ultimate Girls Trip and Bravo shows that are starting to mash up the casts. And I think they need to do that even more. And I think they need to even expand Ultimate Girls Trip to females in the Bravo universe on Vanderpump Rules, Summer House. I would love to see Catherine Dennis on an Ultimate Girls Trip. So it's just an idea. I'd like to put it out there. But I think this format can withstand that. If there's a mix, you know, I would truly, truly love that. Also, guys, I don't believe in love anymore. I just don't. It's over. Because today, after 3.5 years, John Jansen, Shannon Bedore's boyfriend, I'm John Jansen. So if you guys are listening today for the interview with our amazing guest, hopefully you've used the timestamps to skip right to her and you didn't hear me scream, I'm John Jansen, into a microphone 3 times. But Shannon Storms Bedore, when one Bedore closes, another opens. That's what I always believe. But they split up. I was awoken by the news. And it is so funny. It just shows how strong my brand is, and sad that I had literally like 100 messages of like, I'm John Jansen. So Shannon, no, it's not funny, because Shannon said she was blindsided by this. And John even gave quotes of saying, listen, it's very sad. There's going to be nobody like Shannon in my life, you know, which is obviously she doesn't mean that as a good thing if he broke up with her, but he was very complimentary towards her. And it just seems like a very big surprise. Now, listen, Jeff Lewis, who I love, she's going to be on his Sirius show tomorrow or today. Today, he'll be on there, and I'm really curious to listen to that. And it really, God, he's so lucky he gets to be friends with her so he can get that exclusive. But also, Jeff's just amazing. So also, he was on Watch What Happens Live, if you remember, and Andy asked, do you think Shannon Bedore and John Jansen will last? And he said no, and he got in trouble from Shannon for it. And like, buddy, turns out he was right. I'm John Jason. Guys, the reason I say that, if you don't know, for the people new, is because I always think John just is like barely hanging on. He's just angry at the core, but he just tries to cover it up with a smile and drinks. And so I always, during the recaps, I'd be like, I'm John Jason. And a lot of people lot of people remember it. And they asked me to do that even when it doesn't make sense. So don't worry. Just like Lisa Rinna, John Jansen will still be in the podcast. I will still be going, I'm John Jansen, for years to come, probably. So let's get into today's episode, because we have such an amazing guest that I don't need to do anything more, because this guest is truly, truly incredible. It is one of those things where it's another thing where I'm so lucky where I get to reach out to people I admire and have them on the podcast now. And I've been following her for a long time, and she follows me, and I finally had the courage, the balls, if per se, to ask her on the show. And her name is Kirby Johnson. You might already know her. Her Instagram account is at Kirby Johnson. She is a contributor to Allure magazine, which we talk about. Her podcast is called Los Angeles, and you can find that on Spotify and Apple. And my God, she was just doing content at the Golden Globe Awards. She was on the red carpet. Her Instagram account is so cool. And like, listen, you guys, you know me. You don't think makeup when you think Ryan Bailey. Not yet, at least. My beauty brand has not launched. But Kirby makes me interested in those things. And she does it with this pop culture flair because she loves that stuff as much as we do. So this was truly, truly so fun for me. I got to do this on Saturday, and it like fits right in So Bad It's Good DNA and all of our loves. But at the same time, it's still a little off center for this show. And I love that. I love that we get to experiment a little bit. And we talk about so many pop culture things. We also get to talk about her story. There's so many cool moments of this interview. And just frankly, I had just a blast talking to her, and I hope she'll come back for years to come. And I hope I get to work with her down the line, because I truly, truly, truly think she is very cool and special and very talented. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here is your Thursday guest, the one, the only, Kirby Johnson. Welcome back to iHeartRadio, So Bad It's Good. Today is the favorite type of interview I have, where I get to pick somebody that I admire and for a long time and say, hey, I have a show. I'm going to try to talk with them and get them on my show just so I can meet them. And today I finally get to meet a person that I followed for a very long time. Now, I know you think Ryan Bailey and So Bad It's Good, the first thing that comes to your mind isn't beauty and wellness and health and all of that stuff. I get it. I get it. But that is why I have a guest that does all of that today and has an insanely successful podcast. You've got to follow her on Instagram. One of my favorite follows. And like I said, I'm not a makeup girly. But I love it. I love it. What she does is the intersection of pop culture, entertainment, but through makeup, health, wellness. The podcast that she co-hosts is called Los Angeles Beauty. And listen to the guest list in the last couple of years. Hailey Bieber, I know her, Halsey, Selena Gomez, Scarlett Johansson. I mean, the list goes on and on. They just had their second annual Los Angeles Awards. I think it just got released this past week. So you got to go check out that. I was just listening to that. They had over 10,000 votes for those awards. And I was listening to it, and it was like, a lot of it was like a foreign language to me, but I was so enthralled in it. But anyways, let's just get into this, because I have so many things to ask about her story, about pop culture. Kirby Johnson, welcome to the show.
Ryan, I need to put you in my pocket and take you with me to hype me up.
I feel like that might be my overall job in the future, is just being miniaturized and going around like Puff Daddy had that on stage, where he was just like, yeah, yeah. Like, I could just go around. Yeah.
That's a merch idea. A mini Ryan. Just like keep that in your back pocket for later. No, but I was going to tell you, what you do is actually my dream. Like, I love that you get to choose whatever, whoever you want to talk to and just interview them. Like, for obviously through my lens, it's mostly beauty focused. And I really, really love entertainment, but I love that you're like, I like this person. I think their story is interesting. Let's talk. Like, what you're doing is the dream.
But see, the tether for me is like, what you do is like, there is such entertainment value in it. And it's like, makeup and all of that stuff is such entertainment now. Like, it is like everything I talk about is pop culture now. We like, even if it goes to like murders, all like really crazy stuff, but makeup and healthcare and beauty and wellness, that's all pop culture now too.
Totally.
And when I see your account, I love when people are doing something that gives me a different perspective on things, or that I learn. That's the thing that I hate with my account, is like, I don't think I'm really making anybody learn, but I always learn something when I go to your account. And I know, like, I'll never be wearing makeup. Like, I literally sometimes want to write like, here's my only beauty question. I dyed my beard again with a non-chemical product, and it still made my face blow up like the Nutty Professor. That's my only beauty question for you.
other than that, I'm out of luck. But
you don't need anything. I'm looking at you. You're gorgeous. And by the way, you need to wear your hair like this more often, by the way.
Oh, I think, just not showering, waking up and going? Okay.
I tell my boyfriend this too. His hair always looks best when it's just a little riled up. So that's your new look, Ryan.
Okay. I'm taking that from you. I'm putting this, you put this on my LinkedIn as a recommendation. Yes. So I want to talk about your story, but let me first, the question that we're all wondering is what is Megan, the robot from the movie Megan? What's her makeup routine? What's her skin beauty reg? Would you even guess? It seems very pale.
Lots of eyeliner. Okay. like we're going back to the 90s, like just a ring around the lower eyeliner. Wow. It's so funny because I follow a ton of beauty creators in addition to makeup artists and stuff, obviously, for my job. And this one creator, her name is Mikey. She got invited to the press screening of Megan. And literally this girl, she does incredible transformations and she transformed herself into Megan for the show. And it was wild. Like she bought this red wig. She put on a ton of black eyeliner. She like rimmed the bottom lower lash line with like a jumbo white eyeliner pencil. And it's like, you're exactly right. It's very pale. I was reading about this movie is incredible to me for so many reasons.
Yeah, I saw it last night and it was hysterical.
No, I heard it was hilarious.
I mean, it really is hysterical and it's a really fun movie going experience. But I just thought it was funny that like we're potentially seeing already Halloween costumes now. Like I was like, this is going to be a Halloween costume if it has legs.
I have a note on my phone for Halloween themes throughout the year that I think will be popular. And I literally put Megan on there. Like she's the first one. People will do this. And I think this movie and their marketing is so smart because they know exactly who their demo is. They're not trying to make this anything other than what it actually is.
Oh yeah. Like they're not pretending to be Citizen Kane or they're not pretending to be an Oscar. Like this is fun, trashy, and they love it. They wear it on its sleeve. And I love when pop culture does that.
Yeah. And I feel like she's a gay icon immediately.
By the way, you know, I was, you know, and it was like, I would say a third was a gay audience. And like they had the Nicole Kidman thing pops up, everybody's screaming. And then Megan like shows up for the first time. Everybody's like, woo. It was really fun because I forget those movie going experiences from the pandemic, you know, of not having those.
Totally. And Ryan, I listened to a podcast called The Town and they talk a lot about the entertainment world in general and why they can't get people in seats to quote unquote adult movies, meaning these, you know, Oscar nominated or Oscar contending movies that used to get people into the theaters. Nobody's going to see them anymore. They're going to see Top Gun. They're going to see Marvel. They're going to see rom-cons. Yeah. They want the experience. And so I can't wait to see Megan. I actually was looking today. It's only been out 24 hours, right? And I can't even find a seat. I mean,
in Los Angeles especially, but it's like, and I'm not going to lie to you guys, it's bad, but it's so bad, it's good. Like it's makes something from the sum of its parts. I think you do the same thing. You came out in 2008 from Austin, Texas. Is that right?
So I moved out here 2009. I graduated from school. I went to TCU in Fort Worth and I moved out here 2 weeks later.
And you were always like, I always tell people I was obsessed with pop culture as a little kid. Yep. I was a little dude getting Us Weekly every week. And this is before like even computers, you'd get the Weekly, Us Weekly, Entertainment Weekly, Premiere Magazine, all of these things. And I would just devour it. And I grew up in Kansas. You were the same with beauty, right?
Yes, exactly. I grew up with Allure Magazine. So,
and you write for Allure now too. Is that insane? What a full moment that must have been for you.
I love Allure. Allure is the gold standard in beauty. They do the most well-researched, interesting stories in beauty. And of course, they give tips and tricks, but they really do focus on like the bigger picture and what beauty looks like as a whole to a bunch of different people. So I love writing for them. But yeah, Allure was my Bible growing up, like Us Weekly was for you. I remember reading in an Us Weekly that Hillary Duff used this product by Mario Badescu and it was a rose water spray and she sprayed on her face. And I made my mom drive me 30 minutes to Austin because I grew up in a suburb to get this rose water spray. And I spray in seventh grade and I sprayed it throughout school in the halls. And people are like, what the hell are you spraying on your face?
Hey, who's the weird girl spraying stuff around the hallways?
What is that? Okay. But you know, then everyone had a face spray the next week. Okay. So It was, you know, very important to me to follow the Us Weeklies, to follow Allure, People Magazine. So Allure, I just wanted more information. I'm a very curious person at heart.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to know, why did Hillary Duff look this way? I guess I had the wherewithal to understand that she wasn't just, you know, she didn't just wake up and look like that, that she probably had a makeup team or something like that. So I wanted to learn more.
Yeah. Did you know what Glam Squad was at that point?
Of course, that word didn't exist, but I felt like they were getting help. Like there was something that they knew that we didn't. The plebeians didn't know what the celebrities knew. And I wanted it. I wanted that information. So I would read Allure magazine, and that's how I learned about, you know, what we know as the Glam Squad now. And honestly, I know the Kardashians are a controversial group of women, but
no, listen, it's a love-hate thing for me. I mean, I enjoy poking fun at the Kardashians.
Same.
You cannot, but I always tell people on the show that tell me to stop talking, like they're, oh, I'm tired of it. It's like, you can't ignore it because it's pop culture, beauty, the thing in like, as we grow, as we get more into pop culture, it's not like you have to be a successful movie actor or a singer.
No.
You can be a reality star. You can be somebody that it's interesting to see how they've turned themselves into moguls.
100%. And I think of the Kardashians, we say the exact same thing on Los Angeles, Ryan, where people will say enough of the Kardashians. And
yeah,
we have to say, first of all, we're an LA centric podcast. Everything comes through the lens of Hollywood on this podcast. So you those go hand in hand. You can't talk about beauty and the impact that celebrity has had on beauty without talking about Kim, especially. So we do bring them up a lot. For better or worse.
But I feel like you'd be ignorant not to. How would you just be ignoring one of the most, somebody doing the most? I mean, in terms of even the Kim Kardashian outfit, the cosplay of it all. Like, I mean, I would think it would be right in your guys' pockets and just fascinating to track.
Totally. And living in LA, you walk around and you see Kim Kardashian cosplay everywhere you go. I mean, on every street corner. I actually was telling someone before the whole Balenciaga scandal that I think Kim needs to sever ties with them and move on, because that neoprene, like turtleneck, really tight fitting neon gloves and, you know, socks over shoes look, that look is so her now that when other people wear it, it looks like they're doing like Kelsey Ballerini. She's a country singer.
Yeah.
She wore Balenciaga in this like very vibrant blue, I think to like a CMA awards or something like that. And I mean, you could tell she was feeling herself, but I could only see Kim Kardashian in that outfit. I could
Isn't
not
that
see
wild
style.
Isn't that wild
I just saw
we...
Kim, you know? So it's like,
yeah.
Kim, she started as a reality star, and now she's like one of the people consider her A-list talent now. And
oh, I mean, beyond, like, I mean, it's like a billion. She's going to be a multi-billionaire,
yep,
probably in the next 2 years. She's already a billionaire.
Yep.
What made you think, though, what possessed you to come to Los Angeles? And also, I heard like initially you wanted to come to be like Ryan Seacrest or a Juliana Rancic, or I mean, you wanted to kind of be a host and in the mix of those things, correct?
Totally. So the goal was always to move to LA from second grade on. When I realized who Julia, who Julia Roberts was, I would draw pictures of the Hollywood sign and be like, I'm moving.
Right.
There. Yes.
That's in Kansas. I would watch Entertainment Tonight and I would see the Hollywood sign. And so whenever I get down, I will still drive like to see the Hollywood sign or drive down Sunset Boulevard, because I'm like, I'm from Kansas and now I'm here, you know?
Yes. I still love seeing palm trees. I can see the Hollywood sign from my community. I love, love, love living here. And I'm very grateful to be here, because a lot of times questions, I'm sure you get this too, are people going, I really want to be in this industry, but I don't know what to do. I don't have a job. And you have to just move here. That's what I had to do. I did not have a job. I worked many, many service industry jobs when I first moved out here. But the goal was always to be here. And I did want to be like a Ryan Seacrest or Juliana Rancic. E! News was my holy grail.
Yeah. Yeah,
and yeah. I think I was devastated when I wasn't able to get in at E, but I also heard, you know, from my friends that worked in editorial at E who also wanted to be on camera, they were never going to be considered for the Ryan or Juliana role because they were so separate. They were so separate. You would think being inside of E that you would be able to work your way up through the ranks and potentially get on camera. That's not how it works. Their talent is so, so separate from editorial. So I know a lot of people left disappointed or left like they weren't able to actually get in at E. And actually over time, I feel because of social media, E became irrelevant. You know, like yeah. a lot of these shows like Entertainment Tonight and Extra, Access Hollywood, I love what they do, but they cater to a very specific audience on TV. And that is an older demographic. It's the people that are not chronically online.
When Napster came along and like ruined CD sales and things yep. like that. I mean, I feel the same. The internet made pop culture so accessible. I'm watching Entertainment Tonight every night on my cell phone with Instagram, TikTok, all of these things. But at the same time, isn't that interesting? Is that's where you've been able to get in there and kind of explode, like totally. Using these other ways? Like you could now get to E the way you're going now rather totally. Than landing there 12 years ago.
Well, and that's the thing. I remember I was so hesitant to do social media back in 2012. I hated everything. I hated selfies. I hated yeah, the whole, I hate everything about it because it's a blessing and a curse. I love being able to connect with people, but then you have people now who think they know everything and they're giving their thoughts and opinions when I'm like, no, I actually spent over like 100 hours researching this for this story.
Yeah. I'm looking at you, Bethany Frankel. I'm looking at you. You don't know everything. Yeah. Your TikTok.
I could talk about Bethany Frankel. Well, I mean,
this is going to keep going back and forth from your career to things like this is that Bethany Frankel on TikTok, I've talked to her about it so many times on the show. She just wants everything. She wants to get every avenue. She sees somebody do, I'll do skincare. I'll do caviar. I'll do this. I was just watching a video before this about her saying that the Royals, Harry and Meghan, were oversharing. And I was like, that is wild for you to say anybody's oversharing. I was like, you would know. But it's really interesting to see these people wanting in on everything. And I'm like, maybe we know too much about each other and maybe we all shouldn't have as much of a voice as we do.
We need an air of mystique sometimes, you know, we need to feel a little mysterious. I think that's sexy, like bring being mysterious back. Let's do that. I love that. And, you know, Bethany is an iconic businesswoman. She knows what she's doing.
100%.
When it comes to beauty, I am so critical of her because a lot of her reviews where she tells people something is shit or not, you put it on your face once. You did a first impression. You didn't tell us how it wore.
I still look like a skeleton. Sorry.
Yeah. Stop.
Sorry. No, I just find that the part that's really alarming to me is that, I mean, you should do a whole thing of just reviewing Bethany's reviews. Like that could be a whole show because but that's why there has to be trusted people that we trust. I feel like you are one of those people that I'm like, well, if I heard it from you, I trust you. And I think that's why it's so cool what you do, because like, listen, I'm a person that really doesn't have tons of interest in this, but you've made it interesting. And I think those are the lightning rods that I'm like, oh, that's one to watch for 2023. And it's really like, what possessed you to start the podcast in 2018? Because you were Rogers and Cohen, you did Pop Sugar, right? Yep. You'd done a bunch of content for them. And then 2018, you start the show with your co-host. Why?
Okay. So I had been at Pop Sugar for 8 years. I built their beauty video vertical. So when I got started, they were looking for a beauty reporter that worked on camera. This kind of goes back to like me wanting to move here for the Ryan Seacrest of it all, but it was actually Oprah. I wanted to be Oprah. I wanted,
God, she's amazing.
No one can be Oprah, but I wanted to connect to people like Oprah does. And so I auditioned. I had to audition to be at Pop Sugar because I was mostly a front-facing talent role, but I was the on-camera host and producer. And for the first year I was there, we were producing a piece of video content a day for a solid year. So I learned a lot about how people consume content online. This was back before Facebook even had video. So our videos were just on YouTube and then on the Pop Sugar website embedded. Then Facebook video comes around, then Instagram video comes around, Snapchat. And we learned, okay, this is how people consume content on mobile. They need to see text. They are probably listening with the sound off. They're watching it vertically. I'm not kidding. And then also it's like,
amazing.
If you don't watch if you're not hooked in the first 3 seconds, you're done. Wow. They're scrolling right past. So
yeah.
I learned a lot about consumption. And I was there for 8 years. I was doing celebrity interviews. I was doing product launches with brands, flying around the world to you know, do exclusive launches with them. And then at some point, you hit a breaking point. Okay, so the media bubble burst. Everyone realized that Facebook video was a fraud, that they weren't actually getting the views that they claimed that everybody was getting. And entire departments were getting wiped out. I mean, PopSugar hired an entire department dedicated just to this digital video. And then when they realized, we don't know how to monetize this, and it's not just PopSugar. It was every media company fired so many people.
Yeah.
And that was after they had already fired a ton of editorial people because they're like, well, editorial's not hot anymore. It's video. Well, then they fire everyone from video and they're like, okay, what's hot? Oh, social? Okay, great. Okay, let's fire everyone there. Let's go back to editorial. I mean, it's like they were at the mercy of all these platforms, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, I've learned everything I have to learn here. I can't get up any higher. There was also some political stuff happening behind the scenes, as it does at a company like that, which I was made aware of and was like, wow, they really don't want me to succeed. I got to get the hell out of here. And so I ended my contract. I let them know. And as you know, Ryan, talent contracts, I gave them 6 months notice. And so I had a lot of time to bank money and figure out what the hell I was going to do. And one of my
Was that a scary moment for you?
No, because I was ready. Okay. And I think that's the key. I think that is the key. If I wasn't ready, I would have been terrified. But I knew what I needed to do to get out and to be on my way once I was out. So one of my dearest friends is, she's a beauty editor as well. Her name is Sarah Tan. She was at
Bustle. Your co-host, right?
Yeah. Yes. Co-host of Los Angeles. She was at Bustle for a long time and we were actually competitors. So PopSugar and Bustle were always fighting for the same opportunities, exclusives, but she and I like fell in love with each other. So we were always on trips together, always hanging out. And when I told her I was leaving, I was like, I really want to start a podcast. Would you want to do it? And she was like, yes. And so I have text messages, and it was actually 2019, but I have text messages from 2019 that are like, she's like, congratulations, you're finally leaving your job and we can start our podcast. So we didn't know a name, we didn't know anything. And then we got the ball rolling. So I remember it was, you know, April, May, June, we came up with the name, Los Angeles. We got our logo created, and then we filmed our first episode.
Yeah.
And of course, like, at the time, we didn't know what the hell we were doing. So we went to a studio and we paid like a fee.
Yeah.
Right. Like we thought it had to be.
Guys, you can do it from your car.
No, literally. And then her husband he was in audio at one point. He's like, I'm just going to order this stuff for you off of Amazon. And then we started doing it from her house. So, you know, that's how it goes.
That's why I say everybody will have a podcast at one day. Like at one point, everybody's going to have one. So just wait till the equipment gets cheaper and cheaper, but you'll have one. Don't worry.
Ryan, don't you agree though, that with podcasting, it doesn't even, I mean, sound does matter. If it's constantly peaking, no one wants to listen to that.
Of course. Yeah.
But mostly it's consistency. If you're not doing it, then people are going to tune the out.
That is the one thing that I was told at the very beginning from podcaster friends. And I didn't really understand it. And then I understood it very quickly, but it is very true. It's like, you want to keep them in your orbit. And like, I'll do the thing where I love this form so much that I will exhaust people. I will sometimes do so much because I, when you find something you truly love, you're like, oh, I'm older. I got to run as fast as I can, as hard as I can, because I came here as an actor.
Yep.
And this is the one place where I'm like, I finally have a voice. I was auditioning for like barista number three, or I was on The Office, or I mean, I worked as an actor, but it was never like I went out for roles that I wanted to. But this, I can talk about whatever, I can talk to whoever. And there is so much more freedom and excitement that I have, like stepping to the mic today. This is a Saturday, you guys.
Yeah.
This isn't work. I was like, oh, I get to talk to Kirby on a Saturday morning. Same. Yeah. Like I was Same. Like, yeah, done. Like, so isn't it funny though, also that we in a way, like we've been working it all, but we've taken the long way to get to where we wanted to originally, in a sense. Like I have a feeling within the next year and a half, you will have some form of TV show. If you don't already have that in the works, you will, like, there will be elements to Los Angeles that will be on the next level of, I mean, it's just really easy for me to see. Are you aware of that? It feels like you would be, knowing who you are a little bit.
Well, first of all, I'm just touched that you even said that because you are so good at your job and you're so good at what you do. So for someone like you to even recognize that, thank you so much. Like that means the world to me because I'm all about giving flowers and it's kind of like if you spot it, you got it. So it kind of makes me feel good that I'm like, this guy's talented. I must be talented.
Oh, wait, listen, you could change your mind completely after this interview, but thank you so much but that's the thing. I mean, like, listen, I've had that fake it to make it too. Like I wake up every day and have to tell myself like somebody cares or like, you know, like,
God, are you kidding? You're literally the first person on my Instagram feed. Like every day. I'm not kidding because I engage with your content so much. Like you're so funny. You're so quick.
Oh,
half the time I'm like, how do you even like, are you sleeping? You're really,
no, I'm not. I'm not. And there's, it's literally being that class clown. Well, or wanting to be a class clown and never really having the guts to be it. And then you have a form that starts working. The only thing with this is you notice is that, or even when we were talking about you doing makeup and skincare and how, you know, it's like, sometimes you don't even get to talk about the stuff you want to, because you're right. Kind of locked into this certain that you've got your 10,000 hours on, you're a master at this, totally. But like, you're like, hey, I could talk about this over here. You could be a roving reporter. You could like, you know, your stuff. And that's the thing is that I even sometimes like, okay, now can I expand past Bravo? And like when I put into pop culture, I try to make sure now it's a mix of things as good. You try to broaden, but it's one of those things, it'll drive you mad trying to figure out ways to grow an audience.
Totally. And you know, what's so funny. So I'll go back to your original question was like,
are you good on time, by the way? I don't want to.
Yeah. I'm okay. Totally fine on time.
Okay, cool. I'm having a great time. So I just want to make sure.
So the journey to get there, initially I'm like, no, it has to be traditional. I have to audition. I have to work my way up the ranks, whatever. And then I remember, and I'm sure you went through this too. Oh, you need to get your social numbers up. Your social numbers are very important. And I'm like, why does that matter? Is that indicative of my talent? Like I know plenty of not talented people that have millions of followers.
Or people that buy their followers or people that, you know, like all sorts of weird things.
Exactly. And so slowly I started to find my footing on social, which was, I like to share information. I like to keep it real, bring people back down to earth on some things, call it as I see it. And so that's kind of where, my content meets each other. It's this beauty lens, but also you mentioned the, 10,000 hours in beauty, right? Well, I would also argue for me, I have like 100,000 hours in pop culture. I mean, similar to you, I am like drinking this in every day.
This isn't work. I go to sleep reading the Daily Mail. I go to sleep reading weird pop culture articles. I'll go to sleep looking at past years, what I remember and, what I remember of that time. Yep. You know, I'm like, I was lucky to be in Los Angeles during the Britney Spears, Paris Hilton, all of that. You know, like I used to be going to those like nightclubs and all of that really weird crap in my 20s. But it is interesting to now come to this space and you're like, this is nothing to me. Like, this is just this is what my thoughts were 10 years ago before podcasts were a thing. Like I would think these pop culture thoughts or these Bravo things. I just didn't know there was a community of people out there like me.
Totally. And I initially, thought, okay, I can't deviate from beauty because then I'll lose my audience. People will be like, I didn't come here for this. But then I start kind of experimenting with it in stories. And some of the most engagement I got in my Instagram stories was from people being like, oh my God, did you see Jen Shaw's going to prison for 7 years or whatever? You know what I mean?
It's the weirdest things that like hit.
Yeah, exactly. And then I would take those to my feed and then I would notice that people were just as engaged as they were in stories. So like stories was like a really great way for me to experiment.
I love
and
stories,
then
yeah.
Now you're able to like make twice as much as of the content. But I feel like it was a journey and I was very stubborn and resistant of it, of being on social media, because I felt like it needed to be the traditional trajectory of, getting notoriety or whatever it is. But now it's like, this is my bread and butter. This is what I do for a living. People come to me to hear, oh my God, this is how fake penises are made.
Oh my God. Your prosthetic stuff on Pam and Tommy this year.
Love it.
She interviewed I believe it was the prosthetic artist, but also did a video on it. And I was fascinated because Lily James had a whole prosthesis for Pamela Anderson's breasts. Yep. And you found that fascinating as well. And I was like, yes. I mean, that's how I actually got fascinated with was your video. And I was like, this is amazing.
Ryan, when is this going live?
Probably Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay, great. So I'm going to the Golden Globes. Yeah, I'm going to the Golden Globes. I'm reporting from the Golden Globes on Tuesday for InStyle. And I have my
what a
talent.
Dream. First off, that's amazing.
I was
Lily honored. James will be there.
Yes, I've been dying to email. I've been dying to interview Lily James because her performance in Pam and Tommy. Say whatever you want about whether or not the show should have been made.
She was great. Okay. Excellent.
She was incredible. And the prosthetic artist, Jason Collins, who is a dynamo. He is incredible. He was telling me she was a revelation on set. I mean, she would sit through hours of prosthetics, get the wig, they made eyebrow wigs for her. So instead of having to shave off her eyebrows, what they did is they put a whole forehead prosthetic piece on her to give her a larger forehead. They gave her the Pam wig. They put the little mini 90s Pam brow eyebrow wig on her. And then they gave her fake teeth to help project her front lip out and mimic Pam's actual shape of her teeth. That's why she looks so much like Pamela Anderson. Yeah. I mean, and she wouldn't have looked like her. It wouldn't have worked without it. Like when people were seeing the teasers and the, you know, promo images of them filming it. Sure. Sebastian Stan, he looked like, you know, a shorter version of Tommy.
Yeah.
Lee,
yeah.
Right. But she looked so much. It was uncanny. And yes, that.
I always think about like how Tommy Lee must have felt like seeing her in those photos of like, whoa, like that's a blast from the past. You know, like really it must have messed with him, you know?
Totally.
Like, I think you can see that that's not Tommy Lee, but the Pam thing was so dead on.
She killed it. And I mean, full body prosthetics, like you said, her breastplate she had at one point, she's pregnant. She was wearing a pregnant belly. And I got to see these prosthetics. They saved them afterwards. And they look real. It is the most bizarre thing to ever see. But the fact that she went through it. And so I want to ask her about like the psychology of having to wear that and go through that process every day and then act like she had to do this for like 3 hours a day and then go and act in it.
And then remove it, which takes hours as well, probably.
I dressed up as Baby Yoda with a bald cap for Halloween this year. And I mean, by the end of the day, after 12 hours, I wanted to kill people because it's just so much
when people then put in the contacts or people put in the, it is just really wild, but it shows you that's why Hollywood kind of is magical and it should keep projecting magic because of the crews behind them. It's not even just these people. These crews are insanely talented. Like, I mean, who would think that you could turn somebody into a believable Pamela Anderson or even like what we saw with the Kardashians at the Met Gala with Kim going Marilyn? Just the process, even if you disagree with it, the process to have that come to fruition and what you go through and have people, all these teams of artists and like, it's wild. Like, or even just even, I even get fascinated with face tuning and the artistry behind making your photos look better. I find like the Kardashians must have like the Monet or not the Monets, but like the Picassos or whoever the top artist working on their photos. Like, it goes everywhere.
Totally. And I think for me, I like to tell the story of what's going on behind the scenes. What is being said that's not written in the script? That was like a big part of the Euphoria coverage that I did.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what does Euphoria mean in the last couple of years to beauty? And,
oh my God.
You know, you covered it extensively and I love that show, but you really made me appreciate because I'm like, oh yeah, they're wearing weird eye, you know, but you really went in.
So when Euphoria came out in 2019, the first thing everybody clocked, at least for women, was they're wearing modern makeup. They're not wearing like the new girl style of like the, you know, curled hair with like the very simple makeup, because usually on television, you don't want the makeup or hair to detract from what's going on in the show. You don't want people to be thinking about the hair and makeup the entire time, unless it's a part of the storyline. And for Euphoria, these teenage girls were wearing rhinestones. They had these really like thick wings on their face. I mean, they were like little baddies. And so a lot of the people that watched this show, either they saw themselves currently in these characters or saw themselves from 10 years ago in these characters and thought, okay, wait, this is relevant to me. This feels authentic. This feels like something that I actually care about. I'm now invested in these characters because I feel like they have a part of me in them. And Donny Davy is the makeup department head on this show. She is incredible. And last year, actually,
I follow her because of you, actually.
Yeah, she's a genius. She's truly a genius. She worked on Moonlight and doing the makeup for Moonlight, which
was shot on an iPhone, by the way.
Yeah, and like filmed in a very specific way where, you know, with deeper skin tones, it can be very hard to light. They wanted to look a specific way. She is a genius. She's so, so good at what she does. And so a couple of years, it was 2021. I got a call from Allure. They're like, you can't say anything. We've signed our lives away, but do you want to go to the Euphoria set? And, you know, and I'm like, is this a joke?
You're like, no, yes. I don't. I do not. No.
I'm like, okay, great. And I really didn't realize what I was getting myself into. I went and I went to the makeup trailer and she showed me everything that they were working on for the season. And
was that like heaven for you? Was that like, moment?
I knew that people were so fascinated with this show. So I wanted to get every morsel of detail that I could, like what foundation were they wearing? What were they doing? So I had,
were these industry secrets though? Like, yes. Was there a protection of, like, I don't know if I want to give you everything.
It wasn't necessarily a secret. It's just, Donnie wasn't posting everywhere that she was using like this foundation. And also like, there was a lot of things that I learned just being inside the trailer that most people didn't know. Like Sam Levinson had printed out this piece of paper that said, no foundation, trust me, Sam. Like he did not want people wearing foundation, which a lot of these young girls are like, what the hell are you talking about? I have acne. Like, I want to cover up my face. But because they're filming on film and the way he wanted it to look.
You're talking about Sam Levinson, the creator, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. He didn't want the girls or anyone to look too made up, really. So after that set visit, I ended up writing this story about it and then shared a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. Like a lot of people didn't know that Maddie, Alexa Demi, she does her own eyeliner. Yeah. And she works very closely with Donnie and her makeup team. They actually won Emmy Awards this year for their work, but she works with them pretty closely to design her makeup look. Zendaya, they have to make her look worse, which it's crazy.
Yeah, it's really bad. Yeah.
She doesn't wear any makeup. I think the only thing she does wear is MAC Face and Body just to kind of help even out her skin tone in some ways. But most of the time, especially because Rue is an addict and she was doing drugs, they were drawing veins. They're making her eyes red, bruises, all of those things.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is when I was on set, they came in with this box. Okay. And it was covered, so I didn't know what was in there. And Donnie's like, oh, that's a prosthetic. And I'm like,
Eric Dane?
Okay. So I thought it was Eric Dane at first. And I had to follow up with Donnie literally months later because she was sworn to secrecy. She couldn't tell me what was in this box. Yeah. It was like Brad Pitt in Seven. Like, what's in the box? I waited a few episodes and then I went to Donnie and I'm like, I don't think that box was big enough for it to be Eric. I mean, it was a huge box. So I was like, this could not have been Eric Dane's penis prosthetic.
Now is my favorite part of the show where we get to talk about our sponsors. And this week, this podcast, So Bad It's Good, is sponsored by our friends at BetterHelp. Now, listen, we're into a new year, right? And I'll be honest with you. I have let certain parts of my mental health slip. I need to go back to therapy. I need to actually use BetterHelp once again. Because I feel like my best self when I do things that work on myself. And listen, I'm working out now with a trainer. But also, I need somebody to work out my mind. And that's where BetterHelp comes in. We do all of these things, right? We do all these things to look good, you know, and to dress ourselves well, to eat well, you know, but sometimes we don't take care of like our mind, our inside our head, which kind of dictates the whole life that we lead. But when you're at your best, you can do like great things, right? But sometimes life gets you bogged down and you feel overwhelmed or like you're not showing up in the way that you want to. I felt like that the last couple weeks of the year, and there's a lot of things going on in my life right now, in all of our lives, really. But I really felt like I was going through some motions or just kind of like I was swept up in things. And I still felt like I was doing good work, but I felt disconnected from it, if that makes sense. And I was thinking in the shower before I came in here tonight, I was just like, it is so, everything's so fragile right now, I feel. Like everything could go in a moment. And sometimes in the same hour, I can go from happy to sad to ecstatic to angry. There's so many emotions happening right now. Working with a therapist can help you get closer, though, to the best version of yourself, or how to deal with all of these emotions that you have every day. Because when you feel empowered, you're more prepared to take on everything life throws at you. I've done therapy at multiple points in my life. The tricky part, just to be honest with you, with therapy is that sometimes you feel like, well, I'm good now. Everything's good. Let's just keep it where it is. And I realized that just with exercise as well. Like I'm back at the gym this past week and it's, man, it hurt. It hurt so bad. And I was fearing it so much. And the same thing with therapy. I have that thing in my head still, even after all of these years of doing it. I'm like, oh man, I'm scared to set up an appointment on BetterHelp. I'm scared to actually talk to my therapist and tell them what I'm feeling right now. And that's, I don't know why that scares us. I don't know why. I'd rather just do a 3-hour podcast every day. But it is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. I mean, just being here in this world is potentially major trauma, though. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, boom, flexible, boom, affordable, boom, and entirely online. You just have to fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Now, that's a very important point right there. That's a great feature because sometimes you gotta jive with your therapist. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/sobad today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. H-E-L-P. Come on, you know how to spell help, you guys. BetterHelp.com/sobad. And I will put that that in the show notes as well. Now, this is great. We haven't had this sponsor in a while, and I'm very excited because this really helps me out of a jam. Our next sponsor is HelloFresh. You know HelloFresh. But HelloFresh, they don't even know this, but they are helping me out of a jam already in 2023 because I made the bold statement to my parents that I was going to cook for them. I was going to cook for them. And listen, I got a box of HelloFresh coming to me, and they gave you all of these different options. Like I could pick all like veggies, fit and fun, like all of these different kinds. Like you could pay like... It was so amazing. And I chose one, and that box is coming to me, and I'm going to have a bunch of different meals that I get to prepare. And like how my parents' house is, it has this island, like a kitchen island, and then the like living room. It's like a tiny place. So I can be out there cooking. My mom can sit in her recliner chair. My dad can be out there and we can all chat while I am reading the HelloFresh directions because they take you through every step of the way. Listen, you've got New Year's goals and HelloFresh is going to be there to help you achieve them. You skip the grocery store, which is huge because the grocery store, let's just say it, can be annoying, and take control of your time and budget with delicious recipes delivered right to your door. What about that does not sound good? Like, honestly, it really is awesome because you eat well, you save money, you save time getting in the car, getting out, going into the grocery store, coming back out, getting in the car, going back home, and then you gotta cook. So fast and fresh recipes, they have that as well. HelloFresh's latest line of meals featuring robust flavors and filling portions are ready in less than 15 minutes. Enjoy taste and quality done quick with recipes like falafel power bowls, seared steak and potatoes with béarnaise sauce, or Southwest pork and bean burritos. Listen, it is one of those things that I think if I'm left to my own devices, I'll just be honest with you. I'll eat whatever's there. The fact that they're going to have prepackaged meals that I can make and they're going to be 25% cheaper than takeout. Are you kidding me? The ingredients travel from the farm to you in less than 7 days, so you know they're fresh. So skip the snowy schlep to the grocery store, stock up on snacks, sides, desserts, and more at HelloFresh Market. You can also add these staples and sweets to your weekly order, and they'll arrive on your doorstep along with meals. Like, I love this. I love to not see people and go to the grocery store. Like, this is everything I want. I truly, truly think that HelloFresh is going to be the way to start off your 2023 right. It is so easy. You can go to their website. You can pick out these meals. Like you said, you can add extras if you want. And I got to tell you, I am going to be doing that this week. And when I tell you I am excited, that is so, because I've done HelloFresh before and I flippin' loved it. It was when I was married though. So listen, that was like so long ago and I'm so excited to do it again. But please do it with me. Share your experiences with me. I'm going to share my experiences with you. And my mom will probably be watching over my shoulder telling me what I'm doing wrong. But I'm really excited to go on this journey with HelloFresh once again. So go to HelloFresh.com/SoBad22 and use code SoBad22 for 22 free meals plus free shipping. HelloFresh.com/SoBad22 and use code SoBad22. And I'm going to put this in the show description as well. So HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Folks, summer is just around the corner, so it's time to say goodbye to those jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. Now, I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, and luckily, I found Quince. Now, I have a lineup of timeless pieces I want that will keep me looking fresh year after year. I got a pair of tan shorts. I got a pair of green shorts. I cannot wait to style these for summer, and I gotta tell you, the quality is great, because Quince has all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman by partnering directly with top factories and passes that savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. So upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/sobad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sobad to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sobad. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
He was like, no, it was actually Zendaya's arm. So, you know, there's a scene where she's in a tub and somebody or the crazy she's like, woman is injecting shackled, her. She's injecting her. She's in the bathtub and she's realizing like she has to get these. She lost all the drugs and she has to make the money back. And she's just like, I'm really tired. And they put her in the bathtub and she injects her, I think, with like heroin or something. And that was obviously not Zendaya's real arm. That was a fake arm. Because you can see in the show, like, they're actually injecting it into the skin. It's not like one of those fake needles. So I thought that was so, anyways, going back to my original point, Ryan, beauty tells the story in this show, like without saying a word. Cassie, Sydney Sweeney, her makeup was always like sweaty. It was always disheveled. Her lips were always blurred and she looked good, but everyone's always like, why is she so shiny? Because she's having anxiety attacks. She is having a mental breakdown because she is sleeping with her best friend's ex-boyfriend the entirety of the show. And she's falling in love with him, but she doesn't know how to live.
I love that.
And so that is being depicted through her skin.
I can't imagine all these departments communicating in this way to get this done. I mean, that is such a feat.
Yeah. And I mean, Heidi Bevins, who does the wardrobe for the show, is incredible. But Donnie was telling me, before they get started on anything, she goes to wardrobe, talks about, you know, each character's wardrobe design. She goes to like interior to see the girls' bedrooms to get an idea of what, you know, okay, this is what their bedroom looks like. Maybe this is what their makeup would be. And it's very interesting. Like Maddie has a very sharp wing. It's long. This season, it was black. There were no rhinestones with Maddie. It was just like a very, very thick black wing. It was very sharp. And it was supposed to represent that she was maturing in a way from when we saw her in the first season. Okay. But then you have someone like Maud Apatow's character, Lexi, who ends the season on a high note with this incredible play that she puts together. And she's really coming into her own being a director, but her wings on her liner are soft and they're curved in like an upward U shape. And that's meant to be a little bit softer. It's meant to mean that she means business, but she's still feminine and she's still a little unsure of herself. So there's all this context to this stuff that people don't even realize. They watch it and they appreciate it, but they don't realize that everything was intentional. And that is what I love to share with people. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm talking directly to the sources.
I think when you're this successful though, like Euphoria, where it hits the zeitgeist, mm-hmm. where everything is firing on all cylinders, where you're like, well, this just really can't go wrong at this point because everybody's put this work in. And I feel like the audiences might not recognize it, but I think audiences feel it. And I think that's why it becomes a zeitgeist moment. And then then the pressure is to maintain and to try to beat yourself each season, I would imagine, which is just crazy. Speaking of beating themselves, though, how are you guys in the new year with your podcast going to beat yourself? Because the insane amount of celebrity guests, and then I was reading people are just requesting to be on the podcast now. You know, like you start, like you were talking about starting with Selena Gomez, which was like a huge, like this is my ignorant guy question. Aren't we done? Like, haven't we figured everything out with skin yet and skincare and makeup? Like, how are celebrities still releasing new makeup lines? Which you said on the this episode too, that you didn't even want to like Gwen Stefani's product, but it actually turns out it's great.
Innovation is still there, but it's not, it's the exception, not the rule. So a lot of people are putting out things that are just standard. And I actually was thinking about this before we had this episode. God love Lisa Rinna. Okay. I actually would love to know your thoughts on this because I have, I feel like a controversial opinion, which is that I don't know how this show is going to be interesting without her stirring the pot. Like what are they going to do?
I agree with you. Like, listen, there is no doubt. I put together like a super cut of Lisa Rinna moments for Friday's episode. And I interspersed it between the song Celebration by Kool and the Gang. Cause it was very excited. But listen, I agree with you. That's for the show to figure out. The show is held hostage by Lisa Rinna now. Okay. So Lisa Rinna is doing like, think about like she's cosplaying herself. Yes. I feel like now for the last two seasons, she showed up dressed like Lisa Rinna, overdoes it. And she doesn't even know how to act like herself or what we originally loved her for. So the onus is on the producers now of like, I think they need to cut and run. Like, yeah, does that mean next season might be a little boring? Maybe, probably. You have to let things grow. But we have to trust that they have Euphoria-style people behind production, which I don't trust necessarily, and hope that they have really thought this out and still kept some sort of reality to it. But I'm okay with Lisa Rinna. I honor her service. Thank you for your service. But it was time for me because it was becoming, when it's a hate watch more than a love watch, I start because I'm like, what about the overall health of the show? Like I think about nobody's bigger than the show. Nobody's bigger than the show. And she thought she was bigger than the show. And I think Bethany Frankel a little bit the same way, I feel. So I think Lisa Rinna will have a podcast, a makeup line. She already has Rinna Beauty. How's Rinna Beauty doing, by the way?
Okay, so this is what I was going to say. So with Rinna Beauty.
Oh, you're going to have Rinna on, aren't you? I know.
No.
You 2020, I bet you do.
Well, listen, I would be lying if I said I didn't try to get her on when she launched, okay?
But here's
the interesting thing. So a lot of people were like, why don't you get Lisa Rinna on because she has Rinna Beauty coming out. And I actually really like her products, but those products aren't innovative. They're not doing anything different. They're just
good basic products.
They're a Kylie lip kit with Rinna on it. Okay. Like it's not anything new. She's not reinventing anything in a specific way. It is what it is. And you know
but
what?
At least it's not horrible. It could be horrible.
Agreed. Yeah. It could be terrible, but I like the shades and I think the product is actually great. But it's interesting because a lot of people ask me, how does a celebrity beauty line succeed? And I think there's,
in this day and age, especially, there's so much competition.
Obviously, authenticity is a big part of it. And Hailey Bieber, I think, is like the prime example at this point, that she was already on TikTok doing videos of her favorite beauty products. So people
is hers
already
called Lush? What is hers called?
No, hers is Rode Beauty.
Rode, R-O-D-E,
yeah.
Right?
Okay. R-H-O-D-E. It's R-H-O-D-E, her middle name.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay, Rode, yeah.
It's her middle name. And she became the girl's or guy's girl, whoever. She became everybody's go-to
person. Do they love her?
Oh, this is what she's wearing on her lips. This is what she's putting on her skin. This is this, blah, blah, blah. All of that stuff. So people came invested in what she was using. And then she came out with a very curated three-piece skincare line that focused on hydration and restoring your skin barrier that everyone could use, that wasn't full of too many actives or things that could potentially break your skin out or sensitize your skin. And she won an award. And by the way, our awards are voted on by our listeners. So it's not
what, yeah, you had 10,000 people voted in this year. Why don't we call it the Glossies?
Glossies.
Or is that already a thing?
It's already a big thing in the beauty industry.
Okay. Sorry.
Called Glossies. Yeah. So they have their Glossies. Okay. So we're like the Los Angeles Awards, the Glams, whatever. We'll move forward. But she was selling, I mean, she had a wait list of like 316,000 people the second time they ran out of their product. Wow. And I mean, I know a lot about the behind the scenes of this particular brand. This is not like the, okay, we're only going to drop this much inventory right now and save the rest for later. Like they could not physically produce it and get it fast enough to be able to keep up with the demand. So she is influential. And
How involved are celebrities in their own brands?
She is extremely involved. She is the creative director. She has the vision. She has some really smart. This is the other thing. She had a lot of people that had worked in the beauty industry for decades working with her that had intel on how you market a brand, how you work with retailers. If you work with a retailer, I mean, right now they're just D2C, but I guarantee you Sephora, Ulta, all of those retailers are chomping at the bit to probably get Rode into their stores because she is a moneymaker. She's also a click maker. That's why everybody covers her, because no matter what, this is the example.
So it's like thinking. Adderall. There's a worldwide shortage of Rode Beauty, of her beauty product. Yeah.
Yes. And basically, when she came on the show, she not only like tripled our listens for an episode, but she tripled our listenership. Like our subscribership grew because of her, like hands down. And so she's extremely
Hailey, if you're listening, come on, so bad it's good.
She's also just very, I think people like to criticize her for a variety of different reasons. I mean, she's like a young,
she wore the Nepo baby t-shirt. Yeah.
But she is the most authentic celebrity I think I've ever met. I mean, she DMs me, she responds to my Instagram stories.
Is that weird for you though? Like, is that pressure in any way? Like, that's what I was like. My thing is like, how do you talk to these? I mean, these are big time heavy hitters. I mean, Scarlett Johansson, Gwen Stefani, like Selena Gomez, these are heavy hitters. Is their peers like this? So it takes away the nervousness.
Well, Hailey, when we interviewed her in person, and I felt an instant connection with her. Like we just had a lot in common, and I felt like she was speaking my language. I didn't feel like it was a celebrity that I was like, so I have to interview a celebrity next week about an upcoming line that they're launching. And I'm like, how am I going to connect with this person on a level? And I can't wait to see how that ends up going. But with Hailey, it just felt like a conversation about beauty. It didn't feel like she had walls up. It didn't feel like she was guarded. We asked her about like Kendall Jenner cutting that cucumber the wrong way. We were like, can you please like get her to seek help? Yeah. So she's very authentic in a way. And that's why her brand is succeeding. Of course, I think the Bieber name helps because she has this worldwide following, but she's been very intentional.
Girls genuinely love her. Like, I mean, that's what they get the sense of. Everybody that I talk to genuinely loves her.
They want to look like her. I mean, I go to the nail salon and literally people have her up on their phone of like, this is what I want my nails to look like. I mean, it's insane.
That must be so much pressure for her though. Like,
right.
To like
I'm
stay,
like, everything you do
to
is
stay
just
on top of it and authentic and make it real to her. Like that must be a lot of pressure.
And a lot of people attribute trends to her. And she's like, I didn't create this trend. I'm literally just wearing something. And then y'all are running with it saying that I created this trend, but I like didn't, I just like painted my nails red. like, you know what I mean? Like get over it. But then there's, you know, the Rinna Beauties and there's brands. I guess like the meat of what I'm trying to say here is when I get pitched a new brand, there are a very specific limited amount of PR firms that do beauty really well. And I work with a lot of them. And so with Rinna's brand in particular, I remember like it was chaos when they launched. Like I was getting random emails from like all these different people. And I think it was the publicist that maybe she works with for her personal PR that were running her brand PR. And I think the reason I bring that up is because if you're intentional about your beauty brand, you're looking for like, okay, what agency knows how to launch a beauty brand? And you go and you interview with them and you decide who's the right fit. And then you launch with them. You're not just like, oh, my so-and-so that I know that does my personal appearance PR is going to come and handle my brand PR. Like that's just not how it works. And so to me, in my humble opinion, it just feels kind of like she's not as invested in that brand. It was just like another revenue stream versus being something that like she really wanted to become like a behemoth in a way. And maybe not everyone has to make a behemoth brand, right, Ryan? Like,
but isn't that the projection or the goal in everybody's head now is that there's money to be made? Is that we saw Kylie do it? We saw that, you know, is that Kim hopped on the, you know, KKW? Like we see this. And I think it's that kind of American greed in a way of like, I want that. And I think certain people handle it well, like you're saying Hailey Bieber. And then certain people, I think it's just not even their thing to begin with potentially.
Totally. Like Rihanna.
And can women sense that out too? Can the everyday woman go like, this isn't authentic?
Yeah. They're like, this doesn't make sense. And it's, you know, I think for Rinna, I think she was depending a lot on her name to sell the product versus someone like Rihanna. She knew when she launched Fenty Beauty in 2017, she's going to have to come out with something that was relevant and made sense at the time. But also the people doing her personal PR lead, they don't handle Fenty Beauty. That is a completely separate category where there is an agency that works with influencers, editors, et cetera, to make sure that like we're getting news on the product, that we know what's launching and when. And Rihanna really is the gold standard when it comes to celebrity beauty lines, because when she launched with her foundations, and you know, there's so much to be said, like Rihanna was already rich, right? You know, she was already successful singer, performer, et cetera. And she launched with, you know, in a Sephora. So have that huge retail partnership. Same with Selena Gomez, launched with Sephora, but she came out with a 40 shade foundation line. And this was like a direct response to women of color saying, we're sick and tired of not being able to find our shade. We're sick and tired of brands launching, you know, 25 shades of alabaster and snow and, you know.
Is it like crayons? Like there's one we all don't use. Like, is it like, you know.
It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, so they felt unheard, unseen. And she came out with a shade that literally matched every single person's skin tone. Okay. So
that gap in the market, she saw and ran with. Yeah.
She saw the white space and she said, we're going to do this. And again, she wasn't the first to do this. I mean, like MAC is really great with this. So is Lancome. So there's a lot of brands that like have really focused on this in the past, but she was the first celebrity to make it cool in a way.
Yeah.
And literally her eyeliner, the shade of her eyeliner, which is great, is called like fucking black. Like she's like leaning.
Well, I got my 13-year-old niece her first Fenty starting to do makeup. Aww. And she was, talk about cool uncle all of a sudden. She like had a whole different opinion of me.
Yeah, he's like, she's like, you know what you're talking about. You know what's
I've never seen her give me a smile. And she was like smiling. And it was like, wow, that really connects with people.
It's kind of social currency. You know what I mean? Oh, I use Fenty. Oh, I use Kosas. Oh, I use Rode. Oh, I use whatever. You know what I mean? It's a little bit of social currency in a way of what your makeup or skincare routine is.
Do you have 10 more minutes?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, cool. Okay. I'm going to try to jam these in. 2023 okay. Though, for the podcast, who are the dream guests? Who are the dream at this point? Who are you fascinated with or would love to make inroads with? And by the way, it probably already is in the works. So
listen, Rihanna has always been our number one for obvious reasons. We almost got her last year, but then she was pregnant and had the baby, so it didn't work.
Dang, baby keeps ruining things.
I'm manifesting this for myself, but for my new column with Allure, I want to be backstage at the Super Bowl with Rihanna to do the whole, get the intel on her makeup and skincare.
And just to find out what the players are wearing as well.
Yeah. What are you wearing underneath all that?
Sir, what are you wearing? What foundation are you wearing, sir? Yeah. No, that would be, could you imagine the insanity of being backstage at a Super Bowl? Like, that would be so fun.
I would love that. And my boyfriend would actually murder me because he works in sports and he has been to the Super Bowl, but he's like, if you're somehow backstage at the Super Bowl and I've never been, like, what the hell?
Well, I would hope you would have a plus one, or he could be your camera guy.
I know.
Or
please.
Come on.
Literally, we would figure that out. So Rihanna, always. Dolly Parton.
Oh,
I want
God,
Dolly
yes.
Parton. She's an icon. I'm really fascinated with Sydney Sweeney.
Who is
her? Yeah. Her career trajectory is so interesting to me. And I think she's refreshingly honest about like what an actor does and how, what they go through.
How much money goes out in terms of like PR,
yes.
Like, you know, she's not making millions on Euphoria because they all were signed to like a kind of a basic contract besides Zendaya. And I found even that refreshingly honest about like what it takes to do all the things she's doing, which will set her up for the future, but she's got to keep working.
Right. Jennifer Aniston, always. I think
you got to find out about her dry eyes. She's always complaining about these dry eyes in her camp. I was like, Jennifer, do you need the money? Like, you do the water, you do the, like, everybody loves and respects you, but the dry eyes thing was like, I'm Jennifer Aniston and I have dry eyes. I'm like,
so
the
running joke is that she's the most hydrated person in Hollywood because she does
dry eyes.
She does dry eye drops. She does smart water.
Yeah,
she
smart
does
water.
Like vital proteins, vegan collagen. She does Aveeno. Like literally, she's just a hydrated. She's making
you touch
sure.
her and there's like a gallon of water like coming out at
He's
any
leaking
given moment.
Water
yeah.
at this point.
She would be fascinating just in terms of even the trends from back when Friends to now.
Right. And she knows beauty. I co-hosted an event with her in 2019, right when I left Pop Sugar, with Aveeno, actually. And she knew what she was talking about. So, and you can clock when someone knows what they're talking about versus just like some regurgitation of what their publicist told them to say.
Yeah.
She knows what's up. I'm trying to think of, I'm like looking around my desk, like who else would I love to have on the show? I'm just like, I like to interview.
I mean, anybody in politics had a makeup? Like, has Michelle Obama have a makeup brand yet?
But you know what?
Hillary Clinton have a makeup brand?
We've talked about trying to get Obama, Michelle, or AOC on because AOC always wears red lips.
Yeah.
And the show isn't the. I think when people hear beauty podcasts, they think like, oh, it's superficial. It's like just products and stuff like that. We really get into the meat of like, okay, what does beauty actually mean? What is problematic in the beauty industry? We pull the curtain back on everything. I mean, we've been talking about Ozempic, I feel like, for weeks at this point.
Oh, I forgot to. Yeah. Well, I'm going to have you. Hopefully you'll come on again and talk to me about, because I wanted to talk to you about Ozempic and all that stuff. Because you had by the way, this is a real huge plug for our podcast. If you go back, Dr. Paul Nassif was on there talking about plastic surgery. We know Paul from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Married
Adrian Malouf and Botched.
We have a whole rhinoplasty episode. So go listen to Dr.
Also, a pop culture nugget for you guys. He got remarried 3 years ago, and I started off one of my podcast episodes. He sang to his wife at the wedding a Star Is Born song. He's like, Arizona.
Oh my God. He sang that song.
Oh, go look it up on YouTube. I took the clip and listen, ballsy, but also ballsy to have it be like released to the public. Cause like, listen, it's a very beautiful in the moment, but he did not do the
song justice.
He did not do it justice the way Bradley Cooper did. But I just thought, what a brave man. But listen. No, I'm saying the podcast is so like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not a makeup girly, but I'm like, oh, I just subscribed and remember to rate it 5 stars, you guys. Spotify
Please.
And Apple Podcasts. Spotify has that too. So do it on both.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like you guys also, I think we come for the person, like you or your co-host. Like
Sarah,
we come for people and it's like, oh, what you take us on the journey and I'll go.
Right.
You know, like, you know, I trust you. And it's like trusting the person and you just are I trust what you put in front of us as pop culture consumers.
Totally.
Finally, as we go out here, we were talking about Vanderpump Rules before we came on.
Yes.
And that was actually a show that really, and just so you guys know, on Monday night, this will already happened on Monday night, the Vanderpump Rules season 10 trailer will be out. We'll see what finally all this, what they have. It'll be they're showing them their cards for the first time. We were talking beforehand how Katie Maloney gets a bad rap. And why do you think that?
I think that she gets a bad rap because people only know her for how she was with Tom.
Yeah.
And.
But also there was a reason why she was the way she was with Tom.
Agreed.
Because of Tom. Yeah.
They got divorced, obviously. Katie is probably the most chill, down-to-earth person. And I think that might not benefit someone who is on reality TV because she often doesn't like to give in to drama and she thinks it's bullshit, which maybe makes her look like a bitch in the cut of the show. You know what I mean? So with Katie, the times that I have spent with her, I mean, I went on a trip with her to Salem several years ago. And,
oh my God, you did witch shit? You did witch stuff?
Yes.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, we were both like being witchy. And we slept in the same room and we stayed up all night talking. And I'm like, she obviously was still married to Tom at this point and seemed, you know, happy at that point. But I was asking her all about like her past and, you know, and she was like pulling some incredibly successful hot men in her day. Okay.
I don't think anybody doubts that.
Okay.
Looks better now than she has. I mean, to me, she is so hot right now. Like, I mean, yes. I hope that's not offensive to say, but like, I think she looks so amazing right now.
I just think that the show gives her the ball and chain edit, which was extremely annoying to me having known her because I was like, but there's a reason why she's acting this way. And they're acting like it's just nobody wants to discuss why she's actually acting this way.
It's the thing about reality shows sometimes is, like you said, dynamic personalities sometimes thrive, or some people that are willing to like really, like Lala came in and was like, I'll say crazy crap. And then all of a sudden, you know, be immediately successful on the show. But right. Katie has the ultimate sin in reality television sometimes is that she was with somebody really charming, wasted, really like, shy and aw shucks. And kind of like that thing where you want to take care of Schwartz, you know, which Katie was kind of forced to do for a long time. Like He was getting so wasted. So he could go off and like be weird with other girls. Potentially the show always hinted at that. So that wouldn't put me in a great mood as a person on this show. And then to be like Tequila Katie and all of these things, it's probably going to be a love-hate thing for her with this show. And I'm so curious, season 10, how they paint it, because I'm really scared that, like, listen, Tom forced her to make the hardest decision for her life to actually move on to try to have a happy life.
I mean, you could not have watched last season, and anybody that watched last season and did not side with Katie, I don't know, like, what reality they're living in. I was so frustrated for her. And I also was just like sad for her because of how he continually treated her. She has said this, so I don't feel like I'm speaking out of turn. He never put her first. He was always so focused on everybody else or how everybody else felt and didn't really hone in. And, you know, he was surprised that this was happening. It's like, wow, you really didn't get it. Like, you really were not invested in the relationship the way you probably should have been. And I think it's for the best that they both broke up. But I swear to God, if she gets this like crazy, because I already see it in the comments where people are like,
I know people are so willing to,
Katie can't get mad because she's the one that divorced Tom. If he wants to be with Raquel, I'm like,
ask yourself why she divorced Tom. Ask her, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, dude, he would have stayed in that relationship forever and they would have continued to be miserable. It would have gotten worse and worse and worse. And sometimes what men will do, I mean, both men and women will do this sometimes, is that be so horrible that they force their partner's hand in a relationship of like, I'm never going to do it. So I'm just going to be as horrible as possible. And the thing is, Schwartz, even when horrible, there's a charm to him.
Yes.
There's like this male charm that you can't ignore. Like, I'm not ignorant to it. He's really likable.
Yes.
And that shows. So I'm so curious how they paint this. And it already sounds kind of bad in terms of the Raquel of it all and all of this stuff.
I would be pissed. I don't care if I'm the one who's filing for divorce. If you are hanging out with or making out with, by the way, I think Raquel is just I cannot wait to see what edits she gets this season.
Supposedly it's a season of Raquel. Supposedly this is what I'm hearing is that it's like maybe Raquel getting her or finding her groove ever. I don't know. Like it's supposedly heavy Raquel. And I'm like very curious because I've hung out with Raquel a couple of times and I'm like, she's always really nice. And I just, but I'm like, how does this like, I've had, you know, like, I'm really curious.
Like from Garcelle's really son to Tom Schwartz?
She had the rumor with the Shaws of Sunset guy. And I was like, wow, to go from DJ James Kennedy to which by the way, girl, do your DiCaprio. I don't like get it. Like, but.
But that's why people think that she is stuck with James to stay on the show. That's like the narrative.
Did you feel that though? Like, I didn't feel like she was just there because she was so quiet and like, you know, like it was like, I don't know. I never got the vibe of like fame hungry. Like I got the vibe of like somebody that was in an abusive relationship potentially.
I know. But then I also felt that way about Chriselle. What is her last name again?
Strauss.
And now my opinion of her has completely changed. I think she's always just wanted to be famous. And
I've heard that. Well, yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I got the, you know, that's what it's so fun. It's interesting because people can read between the lines sometimes with reality and also realize at this point, we don't see everything that we should see to inform our opinions. Okay. You guys, I have taken up so much of Kirby's time on a Saturday, but this was, please just tell me you'll come back now at some point. Like,
yes,
this was so fun. This was so fun. I love this so much, you guys. Tell us everywhere we can find you, the podcast you're doing. I mean, Golden Globes are in style. My God. Yes. Where else can we support you?
Okay. Online at Kirby Johnson, KIRBIE everywhere. The pod is Los Angeles Pod. We have a Facebook group. So if you have beauty questions, join our Facebook group. I know that's like the long land of the dead over there, but we have a very active and amazing Facebook group. Come and join, ask your questions, share your beauty recommendations. But yeah, Los Angeles Pod and Kirby Johnson.
You guys, this is really, I'm so happy that I got to do this in the beginning of the year. Kirby Johnson, thank you so much and break a leg at the Golden Globes.
Thank you.
Five, four.
Betches.